Well, hello everyone, and welcome to this week's podcast. Week by week, Tim and I are producing these little acts of worship, and well, from the feedback that we've both been getting, we know that they are being greatly appreciated. So I hope that you're keeping well and that you are staying safe. You know, the strange paradox about this difficult time is that we actually show our concern and our love for one another by distancing ourselves to make sure that we don't inadvertently harm other people by passing on the virus. I hope that in your isolation, though, you stay close to the Father's side, that you are constantly aware of his love for you. Stay close to Jesus and know that he holds your hand every step of the way. I love Psalm 100. I remember Psalm 100 from the days when I was young, when I was a choir boy. And we used to sing the Jubilate every Sunday. Psalm 100 says this: "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." It seems strange, doesn't it, to say enter his gates with thanksgiving. Often we think of that as being when we come through the church doors, or maybe when we worship together in some way. How can we enter his gates when we are in isolation? Well, I think it simply means that we need to be reminded, we need to remind ourselves of the fact that we are constantly in God's presence. He is always with us, but we forget. And so we need to be reminded to come back to God, to once again be aware of his presence with us. There's a setting, a hymn, which is a setting of Psalm 100, "All People That on Earth Do Dwell." It's number one in our hymn book, Singing the Faith. And in the second verse of this hymn, it says, "The Lord, ye know, is God indeed. Without our aid, he did us make. We are his folk. He doth us feed. And for his sheep, he doth us take." If you want, look up that hymn. Pause the podcast at this point. Go and get your hymn book and look up the words. And then maybe you can sing along to the hymn, "All People That on Earth Do Dwell."
Thank you.
hymn says that we are to sing to the Lord with cheerful voice, to serve him with mirth, and to approach with joy. Cheerful, mirth, joy? Really? What reasons do we have for cheerfulness or mirth or joy right now? Well, the hymn writer immediately replies, for why? I'm not sure whether there's a question mark there or an exclamation mark. I'm not sure. For why? Or for why? For why? Here we go. Three things. The Lord our God is good. His mercy is forever sure. And his truth stands firm. Three good reasons for giving thanks to God right now. So let's share together a time of prayer as we say thank you to God. Father God, we want to praise you and worship you, to bless your name. You make our hearts feel glad. So we come before you with cheerfulness, with joy and with mirth. Thank you for your goodness to us, Lord, day by day. You're good all the time, and all the time you're good. We see that goodness displayed in all of your creation. At the beginning of time, Lord, you created everything around us, and you looked and you saw that it was good. Thank you for creating us, human beings, men and women, made in your image and your likeness. Lord, you are good. And sometimes that word doesn't quite seem enough. You're more than just good. You're awesome. There's no one quite like you. And in your great love, you sent us your Son to live here amongst us, to show us what it truly looks like to live a life filled with love. Life lived in all of its fullness, revealed in your Son Jesus. Thank you for the love that he showed us, for the love that he demonstrated in action, for the love lived out, and love taken all the way to the cross itself. And then we thank you for your mercy towards us. Mercy is when we don't get what we actually deserve, and we confess to you, Lord, that we, like sheep, have gone astray, each one of us following our own pathways instead of yours. And so, Lord, here and now, we repent, we turn around, we face the right direction once again. It's our deepest desire, Lord, to be more and more like your Son, Jesus, to show more and more of him and display more and more of him in our lives day by day. And so we ask that you would shape us, change us, mould us, make us by the power of and the infilling of your Spirit, more and more like him. May we walk a closer and closer path with him and fall deeper and deeper in love with you. And then we thank you for your truth firmly standing in an age of false news, when it's difficult to know what to believe and what is truth. We thank you for your truth, the truth that we're loved, loved beyond measure, the truth that we are forgiven, cleansed, renewed, set free, and the truth that Jesus is alive and reigns with you forever. Lord, remind us of those truths again, we pray, day by day, in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to join with me in the words of the Lord's Prayer, in which we ask to be forgiven to the extent that we're willing to forgive others. And so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
Today's reading is Psalm 23, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version. The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, guide and shield me. I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores myself. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me, your rod to protect and your staff to guide. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My brimming cup runs over. Only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life, and through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and his presence shall be my dwelling place. The second reading comes from John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 1 to 11, then verses 14 and 15, and verses 27 to 30. I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, he who does not enter by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, from some other quarter, is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the door for this man, and the sheep listen to his voice and heed it. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought his own sheep inside, he walks on before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never on any account follow a stranger, but will run away from him because they do not know the voice of strangers or recognize their call. Jesus used this parable with them, but they didn't understand what he was talking about. So Jesus said again, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, that I myself am the door for the sheep. All others who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen or obey them. I am the door. Anyone who enters in through me will be saved. He will come in and he will go out freely and will find pasture. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd risks and lays down his own life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know and recognize my own, and my own know and recognize me, even as the Father knows me, and I also know the Father. And I'm giving my own life and laying it down on behalf of the sheep. The sheep that are my own hear and are listening to my voice, and I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never lose it or perish throughout the ages. And no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater and mightier than all else, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands. I and the Father are one.
Now, I'm no sheep farmer. I don't really have any detailed knowledge of the ways of sheep. I'm sure that there's some in our congregation that have more knowledge than I do, veterinarians and farmers. My knowledge of sheep is of walking on the fells before we were all told to stay indoors, that is. And you'd come across them nibbling away at the grass there. They never struck me as being the most intelligent of animals, but I could be wrong. I did recently read James Rebank's book about a year in the life of a Herdwick farmer. The Bible, though, is full of references to sheep and shepherds. We've already mentioned Psalm 100. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Isaiah, of course, says that for we like sheep have gone astray, every one of us, to his own way. King David himself, the model of leadership, the shepherd king. So the prophets criticise the leaders of their day. Ezekiel 34, Zechariah verse 10, chapter 10, all denounce the leaders of their day as being poor, bad shepherds. And if the leadership failed to be good shepherds, the prophets say, then God himself will come and care for his flock. These verses then from John chapter 10 are fulfilment of those prophecies that God has come in Jesus to be the good shepherd of the flock. And in these verses from John chapter 10, there are clear echoes too of Psalm 23. God, the good shepherd, God, the God, good shepherd who guides the sheep, who cares for the sheep, and in the end, who offers his life in exchange for the sheep. Let's take those one by one. First of all, from John chapter 10, verse 4, it says that Jesus, as the good shepherd, goes ahead of the sheep and the sheep follow. In other words, Jesus guides. Jesus is the guide for the sheep. He leads them and goes ahead of them. This echoes Psalm 23, where it talks of the way in which the shepherd will lead us beside the still waters and guide us into the right pathways. Jesus is our guide then. In life, we all have choices to make. What will be our aims and goals in life? What am I going to make as my priorities? How am I going to live my life? What role models will I use to build my life around? Jesus says that he guides us and we should build our life around his model, following in his footsteps. Will I put God first, or will I live for others and their needs, or is it going to be me first? So it becomes our aim in life to become more and more like Jesus, more and more made in his image, following his example and choosing the pathways that he chose himself to follow and to walk along. We need to keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus then, and to continue to walk in his pathways and to follow his calling and to follow his voice as it calls to us. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to change us, to mould us, to shape us, to make us more and more in the image of Jesus our Master, to make us more like him in the things that we do and the things that we say, the way that we think, the way that we behave, modelling more and more of him in our lives day by day, walking in his pathways, following in his footsteps. Now, sometimes our pathway through life, the ways in which we are called to follow, the things that are happening in our life, sometimes they're good. Sometimes it feels like we're lying down in green pastures. Sometimes it feels like we're led beside the still waters. But Psalm 23 reminds us that it's not always like that. Sometimes there are dark or difficult times that we need to face as well. Maybe we're living through such dark and difficult times right now. Maybe times of isolation are dark and difficult for you. But the truth that Psalm 23 brings back to us is that God never abandons us. The Good Shepherd is always there with us. Even when things get dark, his rod and his staff are there for us. It's not that he ever abandons us, but he goes through the dark and difficult times with us. The Bible doesn't promise us an easy life. In fact, far from it. In the New Testament, it promises that if we are going to really follow Jesus, we're going to have to pick up our cross in order to follow. And that's a hard and a difficult and painful choices to make sometimes. Life isn't always going to be easy. But through it all, through all those dark and difficult times, the promise is that God goes with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. I think we get the wrong word about that comfort. We mistranslate it in today's language. Comfort means, ah, there, it's all going to be all right. Softness is a thing called comfort. But comfort, actually, the original kind of French meaning to that word, comfort, it means to give strength to strengthen. So the real image here is that in the dark and difficult times, God is there with us. Yeah, he picks us up. He carries us through. Yes, but in order to give us the strength for the facing of the hour, in order to strengthen us and uphold us. In other words, he picks us up. He dusts us off in order that we can get back up on our feet and begin the work again. That's really what comfort is, giving the strength that we need for the facing of this moment. Even in the darkest and difficult time, we can look back and say, God was with me. God lifted me and carried me through and gave me the strength that I needed for the facing of that particular moment. So here's the first particular point that I take from John chapter 10, that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is our guide. More than that, he goes with us. He directs us, sure, but he's there with us every step of the way, every moment of that journey. He is there beside us, strengthening us, upholding us, moulding us, shaping us, showing us the way in which we should be living our lives from day to day. Here's the second point, though, that I get from these verses, that Jesus loves the sheep. He cares for the sheep in a way that a hired shepherd would never do. A hired shepherd is only after, well, making a quick living, a fast buck, as it were. But Jesus, he really cares for the sheep. Enough even to sacrifice his own life and to lay down his life, to die in their place in order that they might live instead. John chapter 10 verse 11 says that the shepherd is willing to lay down his life, the good shepherd, for his sheep. So I want you to know once again, beyond any shadow of a doubt, how much you are loved, how much you are cared for, that God loves you and cares for you so much that he was willing to give his son Jesus to be born here amongst us, but to die upon that cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not die but have everlasting life. This is the heart of the gospel. You are loved beyond measure. Jesus, so the good shepherd, so loves you that he's willing to die for you. But and here comes the challenge, I suppose, for us. We're still living in that Easter period and the resurrection appearances of Jesus. One of the great readings of this time of the year is that appearance to the disciples on the beach and how they share that breakfast together. But in that resurrection appearance on that beach, Jesus once again summons Peter and says, "Do you love me? Do you really love me? Do you love me?" And each time when Peter says, "Yes, you know that I do," Peter charges him and says, "Then look after my sheep, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, look after them." In other words, Jesus passes on that role of looking after the sheep. He passes it on now to Peter and the other disciples. It's going to be up to them now to look after the sheep in the same way that Jesus has been looking after them. Jesus has already said to them, you know, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you." And so the love that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has been showing, he now asks us as his disciples to show to one another too. How do we show that love to one another? It's very difficult in this time of lockdown, in times of isolation. Maybe one of the ways in which we show love to one another, our care and our concern to one another, is actually paradoxically by staying away, by making sure that we don't harm or hurt other people, by inadvertently passing on the virus to them. And so we show our concern, we show our love by not getting too close. But I'm sure that there are other ways too, that in this time of lockdown, we can show our care, our concern, our compassion for one another. Stay in contact. Pick up the phone, ring, text, send letters, send cards to other people, and let them know that you're still thinking of them and that they are loved beyond measure too. pass on that that care and that compassion. Find creative ways of letting other people know that you're still caring for them and you're still thinking of them and you still love them and that they are dear to you. Find those ways of following in the shepherd's footsteps and show that care and that concern too. So then, Jesus, the good shepherd, leads and guides the sheep. Jesus, the good shepherd, loves the sheep and cares for the sheep, even to the extent of laying his life down for them. And then thirdly, John 10:28 says that the good shepherd offers the sheep eternal life, life without end, life everlasting. Let me say straight away that I take this in a very straightforward way. Jesus offers us eternal life, life without end. I hear here a distinct echo again of Psalm 23, that picture of the banqueting table overflowing with cups of wine. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, the psalmist says. So Jesus now is saying that there is life beyond this life, life lived in the presence of a loving Heavenly Father. Death has been defeated. That's the Easter message, isn't it? The empty cross, the empty tomb. If all that happens, you see, is that we live our lives full of pain and darkness and then you die and that's the end. Oh, wow, what a morbid, depressing thought. Instead, we put our hope in a sure and certain hope in the resurrection to eternal life. Death is not the end. Death has been defeated. For those who know Jesus and put their faith and trust in him, death is merely then a doorway. The threshold across which we move from this existence to another yet more glorious, unimaginable existence in the presence of our loving Heavenly Father, changed from glory into glory. But Jesus says that eternal life isn't something to be had at some future point when we die, something way off in the future maybe. Eternal life begins, well, here and now. In John 17, verse 3, Jesus says that eternal life, he defines it here, eternal life is knowing the Father and the Son that the Father has sent. Knowing God, that's a close relationship with the Father. Heaven is, well, heaven is where God is, but we can begin practicing the presence of God in our lives here and now, wherever we are, even in lockdown. We can know a little bit of heaven in some ways because we know God's love and God's presence with us. And in this passage, in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says that he has come that we might have life, life in abundance, life in all its fullness, abundant life. So eternal life isn't just about length of days. It's about quality. Life lived in all of its fullness, life lived close to the presence of God, intimacy with God, knowing his love for us forever. So then, in John 10, just to wind up now and to underline the points that I've been making. First of all, we have a shepherd who guides his sheep and leads us. He gives us the example for us to follow, the way in which we should live our lives from day to day. The shepherd who loves, secondly, the shepherd who cares so deeply for his sheep that he's willing to die in their place for them, and gives us the example of care we should be caring and looking after and loving one another too. And thirdly, he holds out this offer of eternal life, the cross, the empty grave, the empty tomb, death defeated, offering us eternal life and life that begins here and now, lived in the presence of God who loves us and who cares for us. Amen. Let's move on then into a short time of prayer. Let's pray together. Gracious God and Father of us all, whose will is that not one of his precious children should perish, help us to know that we are loved and to rejoice in the many blessings which you have prepared for us. Thank you for what we can learn, even in these most difficult of circumstances. We thank you, Lord, that we have discovered and learnt what it feels like to be lonely and cut off. Thank you that we've gained insight into what solitary confinement in our prisons might feel like, and how housebound people cope when they never receive a visit. Thank you, Lord, that we have discovered and learned what it feels like to be worried about where our next meal might come from, even to the extent that we have needed to stockpile our own supplies. Forgive us that in the midst of plenty we have hoarded food and acted as if tomorrow depended upon it. Help us to recognise that there is sufficient for all, that in the midst of grain mountains and wine lakes we still sit in a land of plenty, and that such emergency reserves are there for us to use today. Help us, Lord, to make the needs of the poorest our priority. Thank you, Lord, that we have discovered and learnt again the simple joys of our own homes and gardens. We live in warm and comfortable homes, safe and secure. But we pray for those who live in cardboard boxes. Help us to remember them and to unlock the means for them to return to significant relationships. Thank you, Lord, that we have discovered and learnt again of your constant and faithful presence. We pray, gracious living God, that when we are lost and when we feel disorientated, that we may find you walking at our side every step of the way, our companion and our guide. We pray all of these things through our intercessor who sits at your right hand, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's have another hymn now. This is the hymn, it's number 94 in Singing the Faith. Again, if you want to look it up in the hymn book, the hymn is "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in." Please don't feel embarrassed to sing it out. Sing out loud your praise of God and his offer of eternal life. And so a final blessing. These are words from the book of Hebrews. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Well, I hope that you've enjoyed this week's podcast. There'll be another one again next week, of course. Do stay in contact with one another and don't forget to download and to read the weekly bulletin. There's plenty of good ideas there and there's useful information. So do please make use of the weekly bulletin sheet. Find ways to be channels of God's love and blessing. Wouldn't it be great if we could have collected 900 items of toiletries to support the Carlisle refugees? Just put something away, as we're doing each week, in a box. So then, until next time, may God bless you richly indeed.